When we think of our city's long-lived arts institutions, we often think of the Woodruff with the Atlanta Symphony, the High Museum, and the Alliance Theater. Organizations such as iDrum or Wonder Root may come to mind, too. Here's another one, Art Papers, this bi-monthly magazine covering the arts in Atlanta and internationally, is celebrating 40 years, which is a remarkable accomplishment for an arts publication in the digital age. Producer Mike John sat down with their editor, Victoria Camblin, to talk about the magazine's longevity and its humble beginnings.
Can you talk about what makes Art Papers stand apart from other publications that are focused on contemporary art?
Well, there are a few things in my mind. First of all, we are simply the longest running nonprofit visual arts magazine in the country, which is quite unique in and of itself. And we're also the only nationally and internationally distributed magazine covering arts that is based in Atlanta. And there are other things, of course, diversity of the content. We have a long tradition of quite experimental artist contributions or experimental poetry, things like this that really make it feel like a magazine of the avant-garde.
So you're celebrating 40 years of Art Papers, but looking back, the magazine actually had its origins with a group called the Atlanta Art Workers Coalition. Can you tell us about who they were and how they got into publishing?
Well, they were art workers, meaning people who work professionally in the arts, educators, art handlers, artists themselves. Its members would get together to discuss issues, to share resources, to advocate for each other, and to share ideas. My understanding is that they had town hall style meetings and also began to do exhibitions and programming, always oriented towards providing artists with adequate resources.
Mm-hmm.
And they started a newsletter. And we have it framed in our office, the first edition of the Atlanta Art Workers Coalition newspaper is one sheet, black and white, and it really just has resources, a couple news items, some grant availabilities, studio space that had come available, these sorts of quite practical resources. And they kept making that publication, and it changed names, but it stuck. It's one of those historically special things, the degree to which it's rooted in artists' social engagement and artists' community engagement.
Yeah, and on that, being founded by artists for as an organ, sort of house organ for Atlanta artists, rather than being founded by, say, critics, you know, who are writing for audiences, for viewing audiences. Can you talk about that distinction and how it informs what you do even now?
Well, editorially, I was quite drawn to Art Papers precisely because of that tradition. It's a tradition where you're free from quotas that other publications have, particularly traditionally published magazines where they have advertisers. So that's quite exciting. It means that you can publish outside of established formats. You can be quite experimental. Sometimes I present, and we have a history of doing this, works that are in progress, in addition to full-length features and reviews and more conventional things. You can really add personal essays. You can add prose that doesn't usually fit the norms of the glossy magazines.
Well, one thing I'm curious about is how was it that the magazine grew from being this, you know, very localized Atlanta-centric newsletter, you know, a one sheet, as you said, into this beautifully bound international publication. Yeah, how do you go from one to the other in 40 years?
I think it was in the hands of some individuals who are active with the organization early on. Dan Talley and Laura Lieberman were two early editors, and I believe it was in 1980 that it became Atlanta Art Papers. And they took time to consider the dialogues that were happening in an international realm and they brought it back here, which is very exciting. And they continued that sort of resourceful survival guide motif that the original newsletter had. For instance, there were issues in the 1980s that deconstructed French theory, which had become very in vogue. So, and they presented it as a helpful guide to getting through post-structuralism or these postmodern French theoretical themes, just as one example. So basically, they took this idea of the artist's resource and expanded it in terms of what that could mean content-wise. So yeah, that really is something that I think about quite a bit these days, too, is this idea of keeping an international purview, but however implicitly, how does it apply here? And perhaps how does it apply in comparable locations?
How has that affected readership?
I can tell you that in the 80s and 90s, it was the magazine that people read who weren't in New York. This is anecdotal, but people say, established artists even, will say, growing up in Iowa, I used to read art papers. That was my information resource to see what other people were doing. So I found that quite fascinating too, because it's dealing obviously with very big ideas, and it's doing it in a way that made them accessible without ever, I fundamentally believe, without ever dumbing down the content or without ever not covering big issues in theory or discourse or, you know, whatever was going on in New York. But it's fascinating to me that we did come to serve this secondary community of young people, especially who wanted to make art and wanted to learn about what was happening in the art world. And in the 2000s is when our contributor base became more international as well. And we started to appear in mailboxes and on newsstands in Western Europe. And now we're really all over the world.
Yeah, as it's expanded and grown, and, you know, as, you know, it's reaching all across the world now, how has Art Papers stayed rooted here in Atlanta?
It was, over time, various members of the community that rolled up their sleeves to either keep it going or to keep it authentic or to evolve it and grow it. But it struck me that over the decades, there were always stories of people coming together and making it happen. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. When I came here, I saw a group of people that really believed in Art Papers and really believed in keeping it going, helping it flourish. And when I got into the archives and looked back and also spoke to the founding editors and to editors who had come through the years, I found that this was happening throughout its history, that it was very much supported by the community. So I view Art Papers as very indebted to that community in Atlanta. And as we grow and we're now reaching these international destinations, we're almost ambassadors for them, I think. And that really excites and delights me.
For a publication that's been so innovative in its, you know, decades of history, can you talk about the role that being a print publication, tell me how that role is evolving in, you know, in 2016, in the 21st century?
Well, having worked with a niche magazine that really took off, it taught me that there is a demand for print. I think the demand is that it be print, mm-hmm. in a very assertive material sense. I've always been very skeptical of these alarmist mm-hmm. discourses where we say whatever media is dead.
Yeah, print is dead. Yeah.
Radio is dead. Yeah. I'm on the radio. My friends listen to this radio station. We still buy and read books. It's fabulous. And the arrival of new technologies doesn't negate the existing technologies. The fundamental means of communication are the same. Images, words, actions, those translate throughout all of these different media. So I think we do need to pay attention to the discourse. Obviously, we're not going to print in the same way we did before the internet happened. So you have to be responsive. But I don't think you need to throw the baby out with the bathwater or panic, because if anything, particularly in the world of culture and of art, rarity tends to be an asset. It tends to be attractive to people, and we will continue to roll with that.
Art Papers is celebrating its 40th anniversary with an art show, dinner, and cocktails at the Trolley Barn on Edgewood on Sunday, September 25th.